For writer Monica Tan, her sense of Australianness has long been something she's grappled with. What place did she have in this country? A non-Indigenous person, the child of Malaysian Chinese immigrants, and could she ever claim to belong? So, like many people who want to get to know the country better, she drove around it for 6 months on her own. Have you? What did you learn about our national character or your own sense of self? You can join in the comments flooding in on our Facebook page, or you can text 0418 226 576. Monica Tan's result was a new memoir, Stranger Country. Let's hear how it went. Monica, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi.
Tell us about your own family background, first of all. So you were born in Australia, but your parents migrated here. Tell us a bit about their story.
So they migrated here as Chinese-Malaysian students in the 1970s, just as the final nails were being, nailed into the coffin of the White Australia policy. And, I was born here in Sydney. I've grown up here and lived most of my life in Australia.
And how Australian did you feel growing up?
I guess I had a sort of, I don't know, I definitely felt Australian, but I also felt a tension with my Australian identity. And I guess a lot of people would say, oh, that's because you've got Chinese heritage, which is true. That definitely played a part. But I think as well, like so many Australians, we have a bit of cultural cringe about us. And, you know, patriotism, at least until recently, wasn't very fashionable. And so I think, you know, when I was growing up, I was much more interested in moving overseas and living in London or living in New York than I was understanding my own country or even my own cultural heritage of China.
It's interesting too, isn't it? Sometimes in Australia, you get the impression when people say Australian, they're talking about citizenship. And sometimes you feel like maybe it's a code for cultural background. And you write about a sense of dislocation and the contradictions that you experienced. Can you expand on that a bit for us?
Yeah, well, you know, I think interestingly, it was while I was in, eventually I did decide to connect to my roots. And by that, I moved to China as an adult. And it was there that I sort of understood what being Chinese meant to me. And while I was there, I had this sort of strange realization that I knew at that point, I knew more about China than I did about the country of my own birth. And there was this other set of roots that I needed to understand and I needed to connect to. I feel like because of the fact that so many of us are not Indigenous, but we live on this continent, we don't have these long ancestral stories to the land in a way that if you go to other countries, often most of the people living there have lived there for hundreds, if not thousands of generations.
I really love the title of your book too, Stranger Country. It had a little echo of Camus for me, that idea of the stranger, not just as an outsider, but that more forceful sense of a foreigner. Was that a deliberate choice on your part?
Yeah, well, I think it works on a couple of different levels. So yeah, it works on that sense that most Australians are still a stranger to the land. And that process takes a long time of understanding this place that we occupy. But I think the other aspect of that title was the fact that the Australia I discovered is stranger than the Australia that we understand. I think it really leads well from the interview you just had. So we have this idea that Australia is inherently a white place. It's a white male, the domain of white men. And as I travelled, I discovered or connected with all these stories that sort of challenge that idea. And so the portrait of Australia that I now have in my head is more strange than the one that I had before I left.
So you packed up your house, you packed in your job and you headed off on this 6 month journey. You've got a particular focus on wanting to learn more about Indigenous cultures. Why did you, what brought you to that feeling, that moment where you felt that you needed to learn more?
Yeah, well, as I said, it was while I was in China, and China is full of, it's like, it has hundreds of native Chinese languages, Chinese ethnic minorities, different cultures, different histories, and I really fell in love with the richness of that place. And it was while I was there, I had this moment where I realized, well, actually, firstly, I was like, I wish I came from a country with hundreds of languages and hundreds of cultures. And of course, I had this knee-jerk lefty reaction where I'm like, oh, wait, yes, I do come from a country like that. But I was, I was really shocked in that moment because I realized I could name so many Chinese ethnic minorities. And at that point, I couldn't name a single Indigenous Australian nation. I had no lived experience with these cultures and stories of our country that have, that should define so much of our relationship to this place.
Well, and tell us about the moment in Mildura in northwestern Victoria, up near the border with New South Wales, the reactions from the local tourist office when you asked about local Indigenous culture and history.
Yeah, so it became a bit of a habit of mine to go into the visitor centre as a starting point and say, could you tell me who the Indigenous nations are? I'd really like to know a little bit more about them. And in Mildura, the woman said, oh, you might have to go to the library for that. And that was not an uncommon reaction in some parts of Australia, where it was the sense that, well, that's the past now, or that's not really relevant, or, one woman in another place was even seemed to be offended that I was asking a question which I thought was quite simple and had no ill intent behind it. So it was very strange to realise that not in all parts of Australia, but in some parts of Australia, that side of ourselves can be quite difficult to access.
We're talking with journalist and author Monica Tan, and her memoir Stranger Country is out now, 30,000 kilometres around Australia, and what she learnt on the way. And Monica, not all Indigenous people like the idea of what you were doing too. When you reach the Kimberley, you hear that a prominent Indigenous man that you'd once interviewed wasn't impressed. Why was that?
That is something I'm still grappling with, and I think it's important to grapple with that. A friend of mine tried to explain it, that perhaps there's this idea that my trip is Eat, Pray, Love, but in Walgett. I guess there's a trope in Western society, especially Western literature, of Western people going to, non-white places and using it as their personal Disneyland to fulfill some kind of self-actualization or, spiritual vacuum inside of themselves. And I'm conscious of that, and I'm still reflecting on that. But I, at the same time, I think that, it's really important that we all try, and we try to understand each other, and we try to find a narrative about Australia that is more inclusive, and we don't just stay in our box and stay in our bubbles. It's very awkward. It's very difficult to challenge what's around us, and I'm going to be making lots of mistakes. I know that because there's no real pathway in which we are shown how to do this.
I want to play you a little bit of audio from an interview that you did on Life Matters back in 2016 when you were just a few weeks into the trip.
Yeah.
Where I think you were at the start of these thoughts
so
and
weird.
These conversations.
I don't want to hear myself.
You have every opportunity to respond afterwards. So you'd ask one of the men you'd met if you could visit a particular place, and this was what you learned.
I mentioned to him that I was interested in visiting the Rufus River Massacre site, which was one of the most terrible massacres to have happened in Australia. I kind of was interested in visiting it so I could kind of read up about it and then, I guess, pay my respects to the people that died there. But he kind of said that, there was no one to, there would be no one out there who would be able to take me out there, and it was inaccessible to go to the exact spot where it happened anyway. So he kind of recommended, he kind of felt like it wasn't right for me to go out there, which is, you know, absolutely fine, and so I didn't go out there. I mean, I'm constantly worrying, well, I'm not worrying, but I'm constantly aware of the fact that you have to be really respectful when you're being a tourist anywhere that you go. So I guess I do my best in trying to meet the people of that nation and ask them questions and ask them what's right and what's wrong. But at the same time, I think there's too often people in Australia shy away from learning about Aboriginal culture because of that feeling that it's not theirs, and there's too many kind of maybe cultural hurdles to have to jump over.
And Monica Tan, you've obviously done a lot of thinking and grappling in that time. Where are you at now with those conversations?
I'm in a really good place, and I think by the end of the trip I had a strong sense of where my place is in Australia. I am Australian, and that's a really meaningful identity to me. That is really separate to whether we have reconciled with this land, whether we belong to this land, whether we have connections to this land and to the Indigenous people of this land and to their story and our relationship to them. And yeah, all of those things are definitely in play and in the air. But I have this incredible sense that as an Australian, I have not only a right to have a voice in that conversation, but a responsibility as well.
I love one quote you said. You came to the realisation you had just as much right to define Australianness as any other, and if there remained national associations with whiteness or Britishness, masculinity, conservatism, anti-intellectualism or pastoral life, I instantly redefine what it meant to be Australian merely by being myself. I'm really glad you got to that position of strength and certainty. Was it the trip that helped with that, or just a very long process?
It was definitely the trip. It was really, it was such an intense feeling that I had right at the end of the trip where that realization hit me, and this great sense of love for this country. I know this country so well now. I know it so much better than so many other Australians because I've seen it, and I've actually learned about so many stories that your average Australian doesn't have the same privilege that I did to learn those stories and to hear those stories from people who've experienced it or whose family histories have experienced it. I think for me to have uncovered so much of Australia that is me, I saw so much of myself in terms of multicultural Australia, in terms of progressive Australia, in terms of women, stories of women, so many of these parts of me, I saw in my travels and in the Australia that I experienced on the road that, it's impossible to end a trip like that feeling anything but an overwhelming sense of belonging and, connection to this place.
And our Facebook page is chockers with people connecting to your story and adding their own as well. Monica Tan, thank you so much for coming on to Life Matters today.
Thank you so much.
Monica's a journalist and author of the memoir Stranger Country. And if you'd like to add to the discussion on Facebook, head to the Life Matters page. You're listening to Life Matters here on RN.